Listen up, people. That's right. It's time to listen to the sparks of bliss in your life. I'm your host and life coach, Caroline De Posada from Miami, Florida. And this podcast is an invitation to join me in upgrading our mindset, wellness, and relationships so that together we create a life that unlocks our bliss. Join me each week as we explore practical strategies, inspiring stories, and the moments of clarity, or as we like to call them, los momenticos, that make the world a little more magical. Consider this your weekly dose of wisdom in your pocket. Are you ready? Let's do this. Hey, listeners, welcome to episode number 27 of Blissen Up. If you've been around the podcast for a little while, then you may already have your suspicions about what today's episode is going to be about. But if you are new here, welcome. I am very excited to share this practice with you because it is one of my favorite practices of my life. And that is the practice of setting intentions. Because whenever we end a month and start a new month, I believe wholeheartedly in creating the space to set a theme for the month. And that theme becomes kind of like the North Star that you use to guide you throughout the month to keep you living mindfully and intentionally, which I think is a complete game changer. I know for me personally, it has like changed my life to live with these themes and with these words and with this practice. And I've seen the transformation in my clients of how they apply it to their lives and how meaningful it has become for them, for their families, just for the way that they show up in the world. So I just want to share it with you because if whether you've been here a while or whether you're new, I would love for you to join me in this practice. So let's get to it. So the first step in the process is always to go back into the previous month, the month that is closing, and take a little time to reflect on what successes you had for the month, what worked, what were you excited about? What did the theme mean for you? How did the theme evolve? One of the cool things that I've seen about defining these months and setting themes for the months is that they kind of take a life on of their own. And this has been a really cool practice. Like for me, when I choose a theme, I kind of choose it intuitively. I work with a lot of different people with a lot of different life circumstances. You know, as a life coach, I hear so many different stories and circumstances and experiences that people are having on a daily basis. So I kind of get a feel for the community as a whole of the people that I'm working with and also my own experiences. And I kind of, you know, as the month is approaching and I start thinking about it, I kind of get like this feeling. It's almost like literally like an intuitive download in where I know what the theme is supposed to be for that month. But when I set it with like an overview, like kind of like a big picture kind of thing. And what I think is curious about it is that as the month goes by and I keep reminding myself of that theme, the theme kind of becomes expansive. It expands and it takes on a whole new life and it takes on new meanings and it encompasses different areas that maybe I didn't even consider when I first set the theme. So that's kind of like a cool thing. I always take time at the end of the month to look back and reflect on that, on how did the theme evolve? What did it mean? Did it serve me? Did I fully step into the intention of it? Because sometimes you know how it goes. Maybe you set a theme and then you forget about it and you don't even address it. And then maybe midway through the month, you're like, oh yeah, I did set a theme. Or you have your word of the year and maybe you set a word in the year, you know, in January and here we are approaching November and you've long forgotten what your word of the year is. It's never too late to bring it back, to always like kind of bring it back into the center of your brain and to see, even if you didn't actively think about the word or think about the theme, Did you live into it? Did it change the energy or the direction of where your life is going or how you showed up in the world? So it's just kind of something to think about and to pay attention to. So I went back into October and I was thinking about the theme that I set, which was Close the Loops October. Now, October for me, I was thinking at the beginning when I first set the theme was I want to get rid of some loose ends that have been dangling for the year. Like there's certain little projects that I wanted to get done. I wanted to do some end of year planning. I wanted to start getting ready for the holidays because during the time of the holidays, I didn't want to be thinking about random things like my taxes. You know, I wanted to kind of take care of that in October instead of November, December. So it was just my way of thinking about it from a productivity standpoint. I wanted it to be a productive month. And what's interesting is Close the Loop October kind of took a life of its own. And I learned some things. I learned that sometimes closing loops has to do more about updating your identity than the actual loop, right? Sometimes you have to close the loops on your identity, on an identity that no longer serves you. Sometimes closing the loops is an emotional loop that you have to get in or out of. And one of the best things that I learned was how rewarding it is to close a loop and how quickly another one opens. And how if you don't know how to regulate yourself, you can get lost in constantly trying to close loops and put out fires, which was not the point of the exercise. But I learned a lot about that. I actually read a great book by Rory Vaden called Procrastinate on Purpose. And there were some things that I really got a lot out of it. And I think I got more out of it because I was in this close the loop theme. And I got permission that some things get to be incomplete. And that is okay. And then there are other things that feel so good to check off the to-do list and that you really want to get out of your life and you want to complete. And when a loop opens, it's really about becoming the kind of person who addresses loops in an efficient manner instead of putting out fire drills all the time, rather becoming masterful and efficient. So I learned a lot. I learned a lot this month. And that's what you do. You know, you look back and you say, what did I learn? What were my successes? What was good about the month? What did I accomplish this month? What could I do better, right? You think about all of the things, and then that's the first part. And, you know, it's so cool, but as I've been doing this practice over and over and over again, I've realized I actually have a framework for this. I didn't realize it before because I've just been doing it kind of intuitively, but when I started to spell it out on the podcast to explain to you how to do it for yourself, I realize I have a framework. So the first step in the framework is noticing. Is this going back, reflecting on the month, figuring out what's going well, what were your successes, what are you grateful for, what's not going well, and where are the gaps? And then the next part of the framework is to name. Is to create the name for what the next month is gonna look like. And this is cute. This is a cute little story that I wanna share with you. So a friend of mine who's been listening to the podcast, she's finally catching on to this whole theme, intention, theme setting thing or whatever. And she fell in love with it in September, because I created Soulful September, Simply Soulful September. And she freaking loved Simply Soulful September. So she was like all about it. She incorporated it into her life. She was loving Simply and Soulful September. And she was so excited to hear about the theme in October. And when I dropped Close the Loop October, she was like, well, where's the alliteration? That doesn't start with an O. I thought it was like you know, Simply Soulful, you know, Organize October. Like, it has to be with an O. Like, there's no alliteration here. And she was all freaking out about it. And I said, listen, I know, I get it. But I couldn't come up with a word that accurately represented the month, like close the loop. Like, I just am sorry that I broke away from the alliteration this month, but I just needed it to be close the loop. So she was very upset by this. So in her honor and in honor of November, I have come back to the alliteration. And I hope that she's pleased. I hope you're pleased with this. But the name that I chose for November is, drumroll please, Nesting November. What on earth do I mean by that? Have you ever heard of a pregnant woman who is about to have a child and she goes into nesting mode? Like, we become nesters? Okay, well, this concept comes from, actually from birds. It's mainly birds, but it could be like other animals also. But traditionally, birds have this instinct to prepare a safe, secure, and nurturing environment for their little babies, for the little baby birds, right? Before they're born or whatever. So they create this little nest for their little birds so that the birds, when they come out of their eggs, they have like this structure that's warm and comfy for them, and they can grow and they have their little nest. They can be nurtured and protected, and they're safe from other animals and all that kind of stuff. So they call this instinct of gathering and creating this little safe and secure nurturing environment for their young, nesting. And women tend to go into that when they're pregnant at the end, right before they're going to have the baby. They go full nesting. They want to get the baby room perfect. They want to have their hospital bag perfect. They clean the house. They want to declutter. They want to organize everything. They want everything to be just perfect for this little young baby that's coming into the world. And I think it's a beautiful practice. But I'm not pregnant and I'm not having any more babies, and I've already decluttered my house. So you'd think, like, why nesting? Why this month? And for me, nesting November is about the harvest season. It's about focusing on gathering and nurturing and preparing for what's ahead for the year that's going to come. And for me, even though I'm not pregnant and I'm not having any babies right now, I am feeling this desire to nest, to just nest. And interestingly, it's not necessarily in my home, although there is a little bit of it going on in my home, but it's not necessarily in my home. It's also in my business. It's also with my finances. It's also with end of the year planning. It's also with my self-care. It's also with my family and my relationships. I'm feeling this time, this like around Thanksgiving, I always feel gratitude. It's like the time of gratitude. It's the time of coziness. It's the fall colors. It's warm. It's homey. It's time for family. And I'm feeling the need to be more nurturing, to create like a safe space and to kind of like foster or create the foundation for a safe, a secure, a cozy, a warm environment, a place for growth, because I just know that 2025 is going to be a year of a lot of growth for me. And I think it's going to be a lot of growth for you. I think 2025, we're getting ready right now to really step into new identities, to really step into growth, to go for big things, to go for big goals, to just really, I just have a lot of hope for 2025 to make more money, to build wealth, to build health, to nurture your relationships and your family. And I feel like this month, this nesting November month, is the month to set the foundation for that in all areas, in business and finance and wellness and family life. Now, I'll tell you how this came up for me. And it was a little random, but that's how these things pop up into my head sometimes. It's through the most random event. It was over the weekend. Normally on the weekends, I'm a super morning person. I love to wake up in the morning. And one of my sons used to be a morning friend with me and he used to get up with me. But all my kids are now in their full-blown teenage years and my husband loves to sleep in the morning. So my morning time is sacred for me by myself. And now that I have a little office, I'll just wake up early, I'll make my coffee, and I'll come into my office, I'll set a candle, I'll journal, I'll reflect, I'll just spend some time with myself. And I often start working and I can get lost in working in the mornings because it's uninterrupted time. I don't have to take the kids to school. I don't have to do anything. So I could get lost in writing or planning or organizing or, you know, recording. Like I could just get lost in my work because that's what happens when I have uninterrupted time to concentrate and focus. And before I know it, oftentimes it's like 11 in the morning or 11:30 or 12 and I haven't gone back into my house. So I haven't even realized that my kids are up yet. And when I walk in, there's a little bit of a disengagement. Like my kids are on their phones or they're on their iPads or they're watching TV. Maybe my husband's working out, but it's a little discombobulated because we didn't wake up together and kind of start our day together. Everybody's just kind of roaming around and doing their thing. And it doesn't feel very family-ish, so to speak. So on this weekend morning, I woke up early and I was supposed to have a walking session, which I never have walking sessions on Saturday mornings. I actually use that time to walk with my best friend or by myself. I don't usually work on Saturday mornings like for walking sessions, but on this particular Saturday morning, I had made an exception and I was going to have a walking session. And so I was home. I wasn't in my shed, in my office. So I was in the house ready for my walking session and my son woke up and he came out and just as he was coming out, my client canceled on me. She said that she wasn't able to come. So all of a sudden I had my son up. This session got canceled and I looked at him and I was like, we had been thinking about making homemade protein pancakes for my sister because my sister who is adopting better eating habits, trying to lose weight, trying to have a healthier lifestyle. She mentioned to us in our last visit that she loves protein pancakes or that she loves pancakes and she'd love to eat pancakes. And I said, well, what if we made you protein pancakes? So on this particular day, I found myself in the house with my son who loves to cook and no session. And I thought, oh, maybe we can make some homemade protein pancakes for my sister and then I'll go take them to her. So I looked at my kid and I'm like, hey, do you want to do some protein pancakes with me for Nina? And he was like, yeah, let's do it. And he put his phone away and he came into the kitchen and we looked up a recipe and we started making a protein pancake from scratch. And in that moment, I felt so connected to him. It felt like this is what a Saturday morning should look like. And no shame on all the Saturday mornings that I spend working. I love working. I love my time to myself. But I noticed, which is the first step of setting an intention, I noticed that this is an opportunity that's kind of missing. I haven't been enjoying this. And these kids aren't going to be home forever. And I'm not going to have mornings to make protein pancakes with my kids forever. And I loved the idea. And that got my wheels spinning and thinking about what do I want November to look like? And I thought, I want more of this. I want to nurture my relationships with my kids. My son in just a month is going to be driving my kids to school. And my days of driving my kids to school in the morning are going to be over. And I'm going to have a lot more uninterrupted time in the morning to work. And this is the time I noticed that this was the time to nurture these relationships and to enjoy them. And then I started thinking about other areas in my life where I'm feeling the calling to slow down just a little bit. Slow down. We are in the harvest season. This is the fall. This is not the time for go, 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 go. This is the time to slow down. And I noticed, I think a lot of the areas in my life could use a little more nurture, a little more care. And when I kept thinking about the name, I thought it would be Nurture November. But the word that came to me was Nesting November, because it's more than just nurturing. It's creating. It's making a foundation. It's setting a foundation. So I want to create my little nest, and I want you to create your little nest in your home for special relationships, for meaningful conversations, for quality time. Create a nest. Look at your finances. What's your financial health looking like? Are you saving? Are you setting aside reserves? Do you have a nest in your finances? Do you have a financial foundation? Is that something that you can start thinking about this month? What about work? Have we assessed the progress of our business? Have we had team meetings? Have we put our goals aligned? Are we setting aside time to create, to dream for the business? So what other areas in your life do you need to nest? What about your wellness, your health? Are you creating a safe haven of food in your home, right? What is in your pantry? What about your organizational skills or your home? Is everything organized? Are things decluttered? Are you creating space for growth? Are you getting rid of what no longer serves you? Are you decluttering? So these are all questions that I'm asking myself, and I'm asking you this November. So I don't know what your theme is going to be for November. You do not have to have mine. But if you choose to borrow mine, I hope that you do so with this fall harvest mind frame. I think it's going to be so helpful for you. And of course, the third part of the framework, so you notice what's going on, you name it, and then you nurture it. What non-negotiables are you going to have for this month? How are you going to implement principles in your life? What's the action plan that you're going to create? What habits can you implement? Maybe you can stack on some habits from previous months. Maybe you loved the closing the loop of October, and you're not done closing all your loops. So you get to bring that in and continue to close loops. Because like I said, one of the things that we learned is once you close a loop, another one opens. But hopefully you're closing loops that don't serve you, and you're opening loops that do serve you. And sometimes there's some surprise loops that open that you have to address, and that's part of living in this life, and that's okay. But maybe you bring that in. Maybe you bring in some simply soulful strategies that you learned from September that you're going to bring into this nesting season. This is the time. Maybe you're going to create a beautiful nest for Thanksgiving. Maybe you're the one that is hosting Thanksgiving, and you can think of your home as a nest for the people that are going to come and share in gratitude practice with you, share in the Thanksgiving practice with you, share in a family tradition. How can we make it a little more wholesome, a little bit more meaningful, a little bit more foundational? What traditions can we create that we can continue to nurture on and on and on? One of the traditions that we've created in our home is now for Thanksgiving, for the last few years, instead of spending Thanksgiving at home, we travel to Orlando, we rent a big Airbnb, and we bring our family, my mom, my mother-in-law, my husband's grandparents who are elderly, we bring them and we all stay in the home together for 3 or 4 days from Wednesday to Sunday. And we celebrate Thanksgiving there so that Thanksgiving isn't a one-day event, rather a weekend long family gathering. And that's our little nest for that week. And we nurture that nest, and we watch movies together. We cook together. We spend time together that we normally wouldn't have so intimately because we've created that tradition. So this year we're going to do that too. So these are just some ideas for you. Hopefully this has served you in a big way. The practice is simple. You notice, you name, and you nurture. You can create your own name you can notice what's working in your life, make sure that you notice the good and not just what's lacking, because we tend to do that. We tend to notice only what's lacking instead of starting from abundance, from success, from what is working. Because I know you've done a lot this month. I know you've worked your butt off and you deserve to give yourself some credit. Okay, everybody. So that is Nesting November. I hope you join me next week on our Sacred Sunday and that you enjoy the beginning of a beautiful new month. See you soon. Bye, everybody. That's it for today's episode. Thanks so much for being here. I am deeply, deeply grateful for this time to connect. If you're loving this podcast, I'd love if you could support me by subscribing, rating, and/or leaving a review wherever you listen to podcasts. Those reviews help us so, so much. And if you know of someone who could really use a voice like mine in their head, please share this with them and let them know how much you care about their bliss. Now, if you are feeling called to dig deeper and really work on elevating your mindset, wellness, and your relationships to create a healthier, happier, and more meaningful life, then I invite you to schedule a 60-minute complimentary consultation with me. Let's have a meaningful conversation and see if working together is in our future. You can find the link to the calendar of consults right there in my show notes, but you can also connect with me on my website, carolinedeposada.com, or just send me a DM on Instagram, at carolinedeposada. Like my friend always says, the project is big and you're a part of it. So thanks for being here.